When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is going on? Bar Down Breakdown, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. And we're hanging with some new friends. We're hanging with Kyle and Evan from Porch Coffin, holding it down in Orlando, Florida. It has been a while since we've had some Orlando homies on the podcast. Mm-hmm. And it like, I thought we hit all of them, and it keeps coming. Orlando is... I'm going to put it out there. We said it before. One of the most promising scenes in the alternative music world, like the quality of bands that are coming out of Orlando, is unbelievable. So super pumped to chat with you guys and just talk some Panthers and Lightning as well. So Kyle, Evan, what's going on?
What is happening?
Not too much, man. How you doing?
We're good, man. We're almost at the weekend. Almost that spring
break. I
will say,
it's probably not a good day for Mikey because he totally forgot what episode number this was.
Dude, I never know what episode number it is. It's like 249 or something like that. I don't know. After you hit like 200, it's just like,
sure, I'll blame too big.
It does. No, you know, I still can remember bits and pieces of every single interview. Like, these conversations mean a lot to me, so I wouldn't say they all kind of bleed together, but the numbers do.
For sure. Yeah, understandable.
Hell yeah. So I guess we could start with some really relevant news. You guys just dropped a new music video yesterday. Yeah. So this is from your EP that came out in, what, October? The Oblivion EP?
I believe October, yeah.
Yeah, last October.
Okay. So was this kind of always... in your minds is going to be like a single you were going to do a video for?
Yeah, we filmed the video before the EP even came out. And then I think it was more me than anybody, but I was just going through it mentally and we just couldn't get an edit that I was like comfortable with. So the dude who originally did it, I sent it to another friend and couldn't get one there either. And then literally just like four nights ago, I was looking at the first edit and I was like, this is pretty fucking good. I don't know what was going on with me. And so we had him touch up just a couple small things and then we put it out. It was like literally he got it done in like 48 hours and we put it out.
Damn.
That's pretty great.
Yeah, super awesome.
Yeah.
Ricky Ybarra. That's his name. I want to shout him out because he really helped out a lot on that and was like patient with me being crazy. So Ricky Ybarra, that's his name. If you need a music video,
is he Orlando guy?
He's like Melbourne area.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice. Not that far.
It's so funny. We were talking to Dom from Broadside and they were talking about like the string of videos that they were doing for their latest album. And he's like, yeah, like we always have to go to Nashville to film our videos. Like that's where we pretty much like have all the connections. And then Pat just dropped it like out of nowhere that his cousin lives in Orlando and is like an Emmy award winning videographer.
That's hilarious.
That's a very Pat thing to do for sure.
Yeah, I think like the funniest part though is like you could see like how upset Dom got when he was like talking about going to Nashville over, and he's like, and Pat had this cousin who just like was an Emmy award winning videographer, and I'm like, why the fuck are we going to Nashville?
The whole time, yeah.
The whole time.
For real.
That's crazy. Dude, I love those dudes, though. We, like, my old band did a tour with their old band, and those two dudes are just both so funny, dude. They're so much fun to hang out with.
Yeah. Dom seems like a real one. He's a character. Mm-hmm. He was telling us about, like, his chip rating that he's doing with Matt Burns at Smart Punk, and it's like so intense, and I was like, this guy's awesome. Like, he takes his chips really seriously.
He's a snacking guy.
Amen. So I guess talking about the music video, kind of, you know, it's got like the industrial vibes to it, and like the in your face, like, you know, singing and whatnot. Kind of walk us through the direction you guys were going in for the video. What were you envisioning?
Well, I kind of was taking some stuff from like early Green Day videos. The song kind of obviously is about kind of losing your mind. So I was kind of trying to, you know, just go with something that was like fun. I didn't want it to be too serious, but like a little chaotic, you know what I mean? A little beat down and chaotic. And Kyle and Joey grew up in like the Melbourne area, and there was this really cool just like abandoned orange grove that had this like building that they would sell the oranges and stuff in. And I'd pass it like going out that way sometimes, and I just thought it'd be a really cool spot. So we just posted up there, and we got as many shots as we could until the cops came and shut it down. And
they did come and shut it down.
They did.
About like 4 hours in, we got pretty like a good amount of footage though, which was cool. It was very messy though, but it was cool. It's like, you know, it's like a little homage to our area. It's this really old spot that's been here forever, and we were able to make something cool out of it, which is cool. It's cool to finally get it.
Oh my god! Sorry, my dog is just like nose bumping these books and knocking my dude. Stop.
Got that cat in him,
dude.
I love that.
Jeez, crazy.
Now, if I'm going through your catalog, it looks like you started releasing music in like 2022. But kind of when did Porch Coffin come to existence? I'm assuming before that.
Oh man, COVID.
COVID.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Over COVID. Yeah, I was like wrestling full time. What is going on? Relax. I was wrestling full time, and then the pandemic happened. It kind of shut everything down. So Joey and I just started writing a little bit here and there, and then we were just gonna go in and do, I think it was like 3 or 4 songs. But then the pandemic like kept going. So we were like, well, I mean, we might as well just keep recording because we can't go do anything else really. So that's what we did. And it turned in from like a 4-song thing to like 11 songs.
Yeah.
That was during 20 and 21, I believe. But then like the mixing took a long time because it was a full length. And we're going through like a buddy of ours who does like bigger projects. So we had to kind of like let him take his time with it. So it just took a long time to get it all done and wrapped up. But yeah.
And then also piecing the band together somewhat at the same time.
For sure.
It was I believe supposed to be just like a let's release music, like passion project, and then you know, one thing leads to it. Then you get like a full band.
Amen. Well, you guys are doing some extensive touring too, so it's definitely become more than just releasing a few songs here and there. Now,
yeah,
Evan, I'm assuming you didn't do like Greco-Roman wrestling, right? So like kind of American wrestling, WWE kind of style?
Yeah, like professional wrestling.
Okay.
Like off the top that's of that not, is professional the, wrestling, so he doesn't know what it's called.
That's totally out of my element.
I get it. Yeah, so like actually the stuff that's like real wrestling, quote unquote, is amateur wrestling, which is a weird way to put it. And then the wrestling that I did was professional wrestling. So Okay. Which is strange to me, but
were you over at like FCW or?
No, FCW's been actually like shut down for a while because they
oh, really?
Switched over. Yeah, they switched over to NXT like a long time ago at this point. But they were basically like the original like feeder for WWE. Like people would get picked up at like Ohio Valley Wrestling, and then they'd go down to FCW, and then FCW to the Fed
would feed over.
Yeah. So that just changed into, they got rid of like the Ohio thing and they got rid of FCW and just made it NXT and they signed people and grow them there. So I never worked there.
Yeah. I was literally talking to Justin today and he was talking about the Wonder Years releasing like some song for wrestling. And he's like, yeah, it's for like NXT. the minors. And I was like, what the hell? There's minors for wrestling. Like totally had no
like,
idea.
It's like the minor league for wrestling.
Oh, the minors. I see what you're saying. Yeah. It's like the independent.
I have to like explain basically. It to him in a way.
Yeah. So it's similar to like punk rock. You know, there's like bands that are unsigned or bands that are on independent labels. And same thing with wrestling. Mm-hmm. There's like unsigned talent out there that, you know, they put on their own shows. And then there's like wrestling promotions that are like lower. Because basically WWE is the only like, it's like the NFL, you know. And then there's all these other like American Football League and like whatever.
All right. Well, that's a crazy kind of before the band started story. We've talked to actually a professional wrestler before who loves alternative music, but you kind of are a variation of that story, right? You're a former wrestler turned punk rocker, which is pretty cool too.
Yeah.
Or are you still wrestling?
No, not really. I don't know. I might wrestle at Fest this year. I don't really know yet. But I was definitely a punk rocker first and then wrestling came after. Who did you guys talk to?
Just
what was his name? Eric something.
Oh, I wasn't even on that episode.
I
remember Tom was talking about it. He's super excited.
I'll
he's an AEW guy.
Yeah. You'll have to text it to me.
What promotion?
I'm not the wrestler.
Yeah, it's all good. What was the question?
What promotion were you a part of while you were doing it?
I wrestled for Fest mostly. Fest started doing, I mean, I wrestled for all the like small independents and stuff. So, I mean, it's very like freelance work, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you're on that level. But Fest started doing like a monthly thing for years. And now they've switched to just doing it at the Fest.
But.
You know, we used to run either monthly or quarterly. I can't remember. But so I wrestled for them a lot. Mayhem on Mills, I worked with a lot. No Peace Underground, that was another one in Orlando. There's just a lot of other ones that I can't remember now. But
some travel as well.
What's that?
You did some traveling too.
Yeah, for sure. Did a lot of out-of-state stuff. I just like there's so many acronyms for wrestling that I can't remember all the different companies and stuff.
Sorry, I'm trying to go back in our catalog to figure out. I think it's Eric Young, maybe. Does that sound familiar? Okay?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I didn't know he was a punk rocker.
Yeah. Yep. Eric Young from Impact.
Dude, fuck yeah! Oh yeah, he's.
It was at Impact. Man.
Yeah, so he lives in Nashville and he plays like men's league hockey, and surprisingly in Nashville a bunch of like former emo bands and pop punk bands and stuff have kind of migrated to Nashville, and they all play in the same league, and like Jay Weinberg from Slipknot and like just the craziest people play in this league. And
yeah, no kidding.
That's yeah, wild. We linked up with Eric. That was a cool conversation. Like, totally out of my element, but still, like, it. Like you said, there's a lot of parallels with kind of even the rise in the different levels of wrestling, very similar to, like, the alternative music world as well, and kind of, you know, signing with labels and things like that.
Going Dude, yeah, I mean, one of the reasons I got into wrestling was Corey Graves was actually married to my sister's cousins. We have different dads. And he was at her wedding, and I was in a band at the time. And I started talking to him, and he was like, dude, you could do it. Like, it's the same shit, basically. You know, we he was just drawing the parallels between the two worlds. And so I was like, all right, fuck it, I'm going to do it. So.
Yeah, I definitely see the connection. Justin even fantasizes about doing a branch off of Bar Down Breakdown that just talks alternative music and wrestling.
Oh, dude, yeah. Let's do it. I'm in on it.
You even came up with a name, so right? Like, fun. Was it like Bar Down Smackdown or something?
Yeah, no, it was Bar Down. It was like Smackdown Breakdown or something like that.
Yeah,
or Bar Down Smackdown. I don't know. We were just like pitching names, and I was like, it's like, yeah, we just probably. I'm like, oh, because I was like, you know, Seth Rollins is like really big in the fucking like pop punk. Like, he's really good friends with like the Wonder Years and all these other bands. I'm like, we had fucking try to get Seth on, or try to get like the fucking the Butcher from Andy Williams, fucking E-Tid.
Yeah, dude. Dude, awesome. you would maybe be surprised at how many kids from, well, I shouldn't say kids, but how many people from like the hardcore and punk rock world are wrestlers. Like Kevin mm-hmm. Koo is out of, I think, Nashville area as well. He's like a hardcore kid. Like Effie comes from that world too. A lot of people come from like just going to punk rock shows and stuff, and were either in bands at one point or just went to shows and.
See, that would be so much
fun.
You
should definitely
do
it.
Talk about, like, what's the first, like, pay-per-view that you remember seeing and, like, just, like, all that shit. I'd have so much fun with that.
Yeah,
what was the clown's name? Doink?
Doink
or something? That's
you mysteriously died? Yeah.
But, yeah, let's dive more into a little Porch Coffin. So, to be completely transparent, like, you guys came on my radar because you did a pretty, you know, over a week long tour with our buddies and Boy Named Sue, who hold it down out of Raleigh. And then you played, I think, The Den with Seneca Burns and Boy Named Sue. And I was like, all right, like, this band is sick. I remember seeing the videos. And then Atticus from Seneca Burns literally sent me a text that same night. He's like, dude, these guys are from fucking Orlando. I was like, what? Really?
Oh, like, that's crazy.
Yeah. I did.
They were sick, dude.
My dive. And I was like, dude, this band is so sick. And, you know, we can tease it as we always like to do, but like, we'll be seeing you a little bit later in the year, which is going to be super exciting. But, how did you link up with Boy Named Sue?
Shit, dude. What was the first? I think we played with them randomly in Orlando.
Yeah. It came down to Orlando. They did like a little weekender. We Emily linked up with them at Will's, played a show with them, started talking, and you know, that back and forth, and then you kind of run into them again, like, oh shit, there they are again. And then and then you start talking like, we want to get up there. We went up there you know, a couple years ago as well in the Carolinas and had a lot of fun. We're like, let's do it again, let's try to do it right with like some homies, people that like know the area better. And it was a lot of fun. They're really solid dudes.
What specific cities did you hit? Like in North Carolina. So Winston for the Den.
Greenville and Winston-Salem, okay. Get the Den. And I think that was it for North Carolina, right?
Did you say Raleigh?
Ron and
yeah.
Yeah, what the fuck? Where did we play? Oh. I can't remember.
Asheville.
I think that was it. Oh, Asheville. That was the other one.
So we did it in like two different weekends. So it was kind of like one was its own like chaos, and then the next weekend was its own like bag of hammers. So it was a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
We hooked up with Josh on. I was gonna say we hooked up with them with Frontside, and then we went up to North Carolina a year ago. Yeah, literally like almost a year ago next month, and we ripped a couple shows with A Boy Named Sue, his other project. So it was really cool, like seeing like both sides of Josh.
That's cool.
Overall,
what's their other project? I didn't even know they had another one.
It's called Frontside. It's like a math rocky Fall of Troy.
Coheed, Fall Out Boy,
yeah,
and the all mixed weird together. Coheed
Fall Out Boy mix. It's really they just fucking shred. Is literally
That's
what
awesome.
They do. And then he has like an angelic voice that he sings.
Yeah, Josh is in that band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he plays bass in that band too.
Nice. Is he the only one from Boy Named Sue that's in that band or no?
Yeah.
Sick. That's awesome. Yeah, Josh is rad. I'd like to hear that.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, out of curiosity, do you know which variation of the den you played? Was it like at the house or is it in their new spot that's more of like the screen printing workshop?
Both.
So yeah, we played both. We played we played the original spot twice over the last couple of years. And then we just for the first time on this run that we did with Boy Named Sue played the new venue that they have.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
How do you like it?
Dude's rad.
It was awesome.
Yeah. I think I like it more just for their sake. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they don't have to have so many people just at their house and shit. They're super nice. They let us crash at their house. Super accommodating. They always like make us breakfast and shit. It's really, they're awesome.
Yeah, Tony's the best. And his band rips too, man. All My Circuits is so good.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Yeah, agreed.
For sure.
I'm going to miss the original den, though. I've only been there once, and it was like such a beautiful night. Like it was a spring North Carolina night. And at that spot just felt right. And actually it was for another Orlando band, Overthinker. They were playing there and such like one of my top 10 favorite shows. And it's not even like it wasn't necessarily packed out or anything, but Tony, even though it was technically a house show, pours his heart and soul into it. So like the sound is so good for being at a house. The lights are so sick. Like, mm-hmm. It's such a cool spot.
Fine.
Dude definitely cares for sure.
Definitely cares. And it shows in the scene too, because everyone shows up. You know, there's been so many people there. And it's because he cares so much, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. I love what they're doing up there.
Same. I do as well.
Yeah.
And then you guys brought the tour package down and did a couple of dates in Florida as well, right?
Yeah. So I think we started in Florida. We did like two dates and then we did Asheville and then we took the week off and we did like three weekends in a row. So we were just making these long ass drives from Florida to like the Carolinas back to Florida. And then the last couple dates, I think were, I can't even remember.
We made Boy Named Sue come down here. It was all Central Florida. It was Melbourne, Orlando, Ocala. Or Melbourne, Ocala.
Yeah.
So they made the treacherous journey. And then got to endure 3 days of us down here in the swamp.
It's not too terrible from the Carolinas to Orlando. I feel like doing that cycle makes sense, right? Because there's some pretty solid markets that you can hit in between as well.
Definitely. And
it makes it work. And, you know, it's not as ideal as maybe the Northeast where there's a different scene every like 45 minutes, but
yeah,
it's not Canada, right? Like I mean, Canada's got to be the absolute worst.
It was fucking great. Other than like, you know, the drive back to Florida was like, oh my God, dude.
Yeah.
But, and then we did that two weekends in a row, driving from the Carolinas back to Florida. And then, you know, that Friday, getting back in the car to drive back up to the Carolinas. But I mean, you know, we're just trying to do what we can with like the schedules that were granted. So,
yeah,
I mean, it was cool.
Yeah. Definitely worth
it. But once you're up there, it's like 2.5 hours and you're in like a different market that, you know, like kids from that market aren't going to go to this one unless you're like, you know, a bigger band. So it worked out. It was cool.
It was really cool.
Yeah. Like in the North Carolina alone, there's like 6 or 7 different scenes that aren't really that far from each other, but you can literally play just the North Carolina tour and literally be in 7 different scenes.
For sure.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, definitely.
And they're only about like an hour and a half away from each other, but they don't really bleed into each other either.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's funny too, because like all the small towns, we like last time we did the North Carolina run, we did Charlotte, and we did Aberdeen, and then we did South Carolina on the way back. But even like Aberdeen, which is like in the middle of nowhere, it's just a military town. They have this awesome venue there that just does like open mic nights called the Neon Rooster, and that's where a boy named Sue booked the show for us. And there's like, since there's such little things to do there, everybody goes to a show. So it was like a packed out show. And then like all the kids that like run the skate shop and the skate park in the area, they all came out and they were just like, yo, like you guys got to come out to the skate park next time and play a show out there. And it's just like really cool. Like just seeing like how big of a difference the scenes are as you like maneuver through them.
Definitely.
Yeah, dude, for sure. It's always those towns too that just don't have shit going on. I feel like it produces the best, like the music best shows. And scene. Yep. Yeah, the best shows.
I always get a little bit of anxiety playing major cities just for that. You never know like what's going on, what event happens around the corner, or what other band is playing like next door or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you don't gotta tell me about it. You're one of our festival after we announced. I would say a week later, Tiny Moving Parts announced down the road with who was their opener?
It was In Her Own Words and like
This Wildlife, right?
And This Wildlife. And it's like, they were playing The Social.
Just like right there.
Yep.
Yeah. But it was funny because like they had the, I don't know what it was, or it was the Abbey, and the Abbey, because the Abbey has like the noise curfew, so they closed, they had to do an early show.
Okay.
So we had people flooding in from the Abbey to our show because they bought tickets to both, knowing that they were going to be able to go to both. So it was really cool, like seeing everybody come in and like Tiny Moving Parts shirts that they just bought, and they had like whatever that is. They were just coming in. They were just like, oh my God, like I get to see two shows tonight.
That's cool. At least that's cool. That was a good part of it. Have you all ever played in Atlanta?
What was that?
Have either of you ever played the Masquerade in Atlanta?
No, not yet.
Okay. So I filled in drums with another band and we played there, and it's three different rooms all like under one roof, and they're different size venues. We pull up, it's like very legit. We're like, oh, this is badass. We're in Atlanta. It's this really cool setup, you know, backstage, the whole thing. Real Friends is playing right next door. And by right next door, I mean the same fucking building. They're literally right next door. So they sold out their show, which was already a bigger venue. We played to like eight people, and like you could hear the noise coming through the wall from the crowd. It was wild.
I played the Masquerade once, probably the same room, the smaller room.
Yeah.
But we didn't have anything like that. It just wasn't packed. There was no excuses.
Yeah. Right. Big cities, man.
Yeah. Was it Purgatory is the smaller room?
That's what
I can't remember. Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah. It's so crazy how that's all set up. I think we were talking to Atticus from Seneca Burns, and he was saying like they played Purgatory and they had like a huge band playing the room next door, and Atticus in true fashion just snuck over, handed a whole bunch of flyers out, and people started going to their show as like the other show started letting out. I'm just like, how the fuck do you do this?
Yeah.
We weren't so lucky.
Yeah,
that's a tough one. But speaking of cool venues, and it's totally random and it's a totally random scene, but there's this place in Birmingham that just came on my radar that is like a workspace, like a We Share workspace during the day, and then turns into a music venue at night, and it's the coolest idea ever. I'm like, geez, that makes so much damn sense.
I played something similar to that in Houston. Can't remember the name of it, but it was like a shared art space thing. Different units everywhere, different things going on. And then they would shut it down, and it'd be kind of like a block party kind of show kind of thing most nights. It was pretty
though.
That's sick.
Yo, I'm sorry. Real quick, can I feed these dogs, dude? They just will not
stop barking. No, yeah, dude. Yeah, you're good, man. Dude.
This is probably a good time for Mikey to read DraftKings anyway.
Let me go.
Okay, perfect. I just need like 2 minutes.
No, do your thing. Let me try to find it. Justin, ask a follow-up question while I find this.
So speaking of weird venues, we played like a dance hall.
Okay.
And it was like an ultimate dance center type of thing. And the band that put it on, it was down in Lakeland. He was just like, hey, I got this spot. I couldn't find a venue, but we're going to get it set up. So we're like literally like walking in with all this gear is like all these like kids are walking out in like their like dance uniforms and stuff.
Wow.
I'm just like, what's going on? But the band set it up. They're called These Times down in Lakeland. Okay. And they had a full PA set up. They had karaoke in between bands. They had like a full light set up. And the floor was bouncy like a dance hall is, just so that you can get everything going. So I think they got like 30 or 40 kids packed in there too.
I love
playing weird fucking venues like that.
Dude, that's the thing is like you walk and you're like, this is completely fucked. And those are like the most memorable shows. The ones where you meet people that you're friends with for 15 years, you know, all that stuff. We played, when was this? Sometime last year we played Jacksonville and it was a Jamaican like food place. I can't remember the name of it, but it was just like one side was a restaurant full of awesome Jamaican food. And then it was like a back area that was clearly like just a back area hallway thing that they just put like speakers next to. We had a fucking blast. It was awesome. Ate like way too food, like too much spicy food right before you play. And you know, as it goes, just had a good time.
That was fucking Vecinos at Fest. It was just like the Mexican Cuban fusion burrito place and then the little venue next door.
Yep.
So much fun. I love that stuff.
Oh, dude, it's the best. I love Fest in general, but yeah, being all everything like right there. What more do you need?
Don't need anything else. They even put a dispensary right in the middle of Fest. Just like DraftKings, it has everything you need.
Amen. So we know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. So the Islanders continue to make that push. They're actually in a playoff spot currently. So perfect chance to throw down some money and see if the Durs make the playoffs or not. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with promo code THPN. New customers can bet $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with promo code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after assurance. See DraftKings.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved. So, Kyle, you mentioned that you love Fest. So, was this past Fest the first one that Porch Coffins played, or have you played it with other bands and other projects?
So, this was our Porch Coffins' second time playing, which was
nice.
Loved it. The first time we played, I guess 2 years ago now, was at 11 a.m. on a Sunday.
And we packed that motherfucker out.
As you do. She was packed. Got through it. And then last year was a lot of fun. We played Saturday night for like perfect prime time. Not really thinking like, yeah, prime time for like every fucking band. But it was really good. We played at Vincino's again, same venue we played the last time. And it was packed, as every Fest show is for the most part. So it was a great time. I played a few other times with a band called Jillian Carter. I don't know if y'all are familiar with them.
Yep.
Grams grind kind of band from around here. I played with them for a few years and played Fest, I think, two or three times with them. Pre-COVID, before, you know.
It's on my bucket list.
I was talking to somebody about this, but I feel like pre-COVID is going to be like when we talk about like going on a plane pre-9/11.
Yeah, kind of.
Right? Like it was like people are going to be like, oh, what? That you could just walk up into like up to the door of an airplane, like, yeah, with your family members. Yeah, dude, you could do that all the time. Not anymore. And I was going to be like, what? You could have bought a house for like under $200,000. Yeah, dude, pre-COVID, man.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah,
under $3. What? It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Taco like, Bell was actually I'm sure. Bowl. What does that Arizona can say on it? Probably doesn't say 99 cents anymore, right?
Dude, I got to give it to Arizona. That shit is still
99 cents.
99 cents.
Dude, to where?
Look at that. Like, sticking to their guns, dude.
There's a fucking real ones.
They are.
It makes me a little nervous for what's probably actually inside of it, but
yeah, for sure.
Just leaf water.
So you gotta figure they were making profit in like 1993 at 99 cents, and they're still making profit in 2024 at 99 wow. cents.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah,
it probably
costs
more to make
that.
The fucking can than it does to
just recycle it.
Yeah.
True that. True that. So I do want to dive into your sick Jacksonville show that you guys had, what, 2 weeks ago, a week ago? Maybe a week ago only, but
yeah, it was this past Friday.
Oh, okay. So last week, with our buddies Glazed and Joyce Manor, kind of turned into a little bit of a dumpster fire, at least what I saw on social media. Not necessarily the bands. Obviously, the bands are all sick, but kind of the way things unfolded and having Jacksonville PD get involved and kind of shutting down the show. From your standpoint, though, you got in your set before all the craziness went down. I guess walk me through what you guys personally experienced just with your set and playing, obviously, a sick-ass show.
Well,
it was fucking sick, dude. It was cool. I mean, it was, I don't know. The room was really weird, man. It was like 100-foot ceilings or some shit. So, like, the reverb in the room was a little rough to work with. Ooh. But
yeah, it was, like, all stone, too. So it traveled.
Yeah.
But with people in there, it wasn't too bad, at least by what we were told, at least.
Yeah, from the and, like, dude, the sound on the stage was ripping, so we thought we were ripping. So, yeah. Like, you know, I had a blast.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and then kids seemed to be into us, which was cool, which, you know, is always a good sign. And everybody was having a great night. This shit went to hell in a handbasket, but I mean,
it was supposed to be at Underbelly originally, right?
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Yeah. It got sold out pretty quick by what I heard. And I think there were some logistical things and they were like, they wanted to do it at a bigger venue, hence, you know, this venue being at like a some type of like.
Mega sorry, dude, my bad.
No, you're good.
There's like a little bit of a delay. what I heard was that they sold 450, and that venue holds 300. So the venue told them like they either had to like refund the tickets or move it to a different venue. So they were like, all right, well, we're going to move it to a different venue, which is understandable. I get that. And then they sold, I think the final number was like 898 or something. Holy so they sold cow. Like a significant amount more. So it was like, you know, all right, beautiful. That's great. But I think that personally, I think for us, 300 or 350 would have felt pretty much the same. And then, but it would have been like, an environment that has shows typically, so it would have probably ran smoother and definitely had less problems than it ended up having.
Yeah.
Was it always associated with the Comic-Con like event that was going on, or is that just kind of what happened when you moved to the new space?
It was always associated as like an after party or some type of thing like that. I think the budget came from the Comic-Con.
Gotcha. Yeah, you know, those kinds of events now have become so massive because we even talked to Nick from Bayside and he does that Mosh Eisley that's like a Star Wars emo night. And it kind of follows along with some of where these Comic Cons and Star Wars cons and whatnot are happening. And it's more than just like, oh, and let's go and meet some of, you know, characters from some of my favorite, you know, childhood movies and things like that, and turns into weekend long events where they have these kinds of parties and things like that. So were you seeing that a lot of the people that were at the show were actual like guests of the Comic-Con, or was it just really the Jacksonville scene coming out for a show?
I mean, I think it was a little bit of both. I don't know. Yeah. What do you think, Kyle?
Yeah, I'd say it was a little bit of both. There were definitely people there just for the Joyce Manor show, you know. But there were also people there that were, like, fully dressed up. It was really cool. I don't think anyone in the crowd had any notion of it not going as far as, like, the vibe of the show, the energy, you know. Everyone that was there to have a good time and kind of expected it to go, you know, as a normal show like that would normally go. Crowd surfing, diving, all that good stuff.
And it was. Did you see any, like, any cool cosplayers stage diving or no?
I didn't see any. I would like to think that there were, though. That would be awesome.
No, that would have been sick, though.
No, like a sword fight in the pit.
There was, like, one kid that, like, just stood there because I think he didn't really know what to do. He, like, got up there and froze. And he might have been, like, somebody from the convention, you know, and just was like, wait, what do I do? But I wish he would have caught this.
I feel like I have a similar stance with weddings as I do with the show that you guys went to. So I used to work in a restaurant that catered weddings and whatnot, and I knew what went, like, the extent of what went into preparing food for hundreds and hundreds of people. And then, like, you know, you go to some friends' weddings who have it, like, at a remote location because it looks pretty and whatnot, but you know the food's going to taste like shit because, like, they're getting it brought in and, like, a company's doing it from the truck and whatnot, and you're like, man, this food's going to suck. I know it. And yeah. I would say 9 times out of 10, I'm right. And I think the same goes for, like, shows, right? Like, when you have a show at a spot that doesn't typically do punk or hardcore shows, like, this kind of stuff can happen easily. Like, also bringing sound in that's going to, you know, portray your music correctly and, like, have it legit sound right is also an obstacle. So, unfortunately, you know, trying to get a bigger room to sell more tickets can have things like this associated with, because it's not a place that knows how to handle, you know, kids dancing and kids crowd surfing and kids, like, bumping into each other. And from what I heard, it wasn't even necessarily a super rowdy show. It was kind of a low-key show that kind of spiraled.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I think that, like, the kids were really amped up by the time Joyce went on. So I won't say that it wasn't, like they were having fun. You know, it wasn't like a boring show by any means, but I mean, when, like, we've all been to probably 1,000 shows, like, it was a mild show comparatively to a lot of shows, you know? So I don't know. The cops shutting the shit down for fucking push pitting is crazy to me.
Yeah.
But
has the mayor of Jacksonville or anyone come out about this? Like,
Of course not.
No.
Fire marshal was the one that had inevitably, like, shut it all down. But nothing was said after that. I mean, you would have thought the place was shot up if you walked outside that building.
So many cops out there,
dude. There was like, maybe 20 cop cars or something.
Jeez,
damn, it was crazy. Yeah. It was, like, not as bad, but remember that shit in Miami that just happened a couple of months ago? It was like like some shit like that. You know, we were just like, what the fuck.
But, like, so I remember, like, I went to a show years ago at, like, a similar type of place where, like, I grew up in Miami, and we didn't really have, like, a lot of venues to be able to put on shows. So we kind of, like, just found a spot, and that's where we were going to book the show. And there was this, like, small, like drama theater club that would help put on shows. And they had, like, a side room with a big stage that we could kind of, like, do everything in. And somebody had the bright idea of bringing in, like, Suicide Silence at the time, who was, like, you know, the up-and-coming fucking deathcore band of, like, 2006. Mm-hmm. And they brought them in there. And I remember, like, my buddies opened the show when we were all there. And we were just doing our stuff. And security, you know, kind of freaked out a minute. And he pulled out mace. And someone kicked his hand up, and he just sprayed the mace into the intake vent. So all the mace just started coming down on top of, like, everybody in the crowd. Oh, and, like,
My goodness.
We were all like I never want to get maced in my life ever again. That fucking sucked. Dude. But I remember like it was chaos, dude. Like some guy like picked up like a table and like threw it through the window to like just to be able to get out because you couldn't see anything, your body was hurting, and we all got hosed down by ambulance because they had to have like a chemical bath to get the mace off. But like that was more rowdy than the jails,
man. Yeah. Yeah, but I'd say so for sure.
In that note though, it just takes like a couple people not understanding it and kind of being bad actors to really make it go sideways. And that's kind of what, from my perspective, what I saw happening was people that had jobs there that weren't doing their jobs as far as security goes and making sure people are safe, more concerned about kind of an us versus them mentality of like, mm-hmm. you know, fuck them for getting excited and getting rowdy. And, you know, what that turned into was them thinking that everyone having a good time was almost to spite them in some way, you know, which inevitably like, shut it down. Crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I feel like anytime you get a group of people like that together and then you have somebody come on stage and be like, you guys need to calm down. Everybody's going to be like, dude, go fuck yourself. And then they're just going to go harder. You know, it's just like poor management and just a lack of knowing how to, I guess, like operate with this type of scene or these kind of bands. But again, it's like us in Joyce Manor. It's like, it wasn't, you know, I mean, it didn't need to be what it was.
Certain bands may need to take responsibility at times when things happen, but like this is like out of the band's hands. This is more of like a, you know, it goes beyond the bands as far as like what we can do on stage to prevent anything from happening, but beyond our control, you know, we're just up there doing our thing. That's what we came here to do. That's what we were told to do. You know, should be that simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and like, you could tell that.
Yeah, go ahead.
You could tell that it like personally hurt the Glazed homies too, because that's their scene, right? And like those are their people, and you know you never want to shine any negative light on a specific scene, and like unfortunately, this kind of shit does, right? And like it shouldn't be a reflection of what's going on in Jacksonville, and you know. I think just if we can move past and look, you know, for the future, it's kind of just like, you know, stick to the venue, stick to the people that are really invested in the scene, right? Like, there's got to be a venue that would have loved to house that show, right?
For sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. I feel like it's possible that there was like maybe they were just like making like they were setting the example or something that night, you know what I mean? It felt very like everything felt very forced. Like as soon as the cops like started doing shit, it was like they couldn't fucking wait to do it, you know what I mean? It was like, I don't know, it just felt very out of place and very forced. And
but misplaced
in the punk's face.
What's that?
Just wanted to shove it in the punk's face.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it felt. It really felt like they were just waiting to be told to do this. And then as soon as they got the green light, like they were like fucking put their safety badges on and like told everybody to stop running in the halls. It was just like so dorky. You know?
Apparently, the first show that had been played, like music that had been played there in like 20 years. So,
yeah.
Who knows what I think is going to happen.
I mean, it was just fucking stupid. And like, I see like Joyce Manor catching like shit about it, and like they didn't even talk the whole set. So like it's not like how they told us before we played, like don't rile the crowd up, but like they didn't even say anything. They just played music. And so it wasn't like they were like, I don't know, like they just didn't do anything, you know? So I don't know. This is fucking.
Yeah. I mean, given their circumstances with it being somewhat their show, you know, most people came there to see them, and having to deal with people coming up on stage, like not only security, but officials with the venue itself.
Yeah.
Kind of telling them things. I think they handled it very professionally, you know, They didn't fuck this place, fuck these people. It was, you know, very like, hey guys, this is it, sorry, and then, you know, left it at that. So got to commend them for that.
Yeah, like, I mean, they came up on stage like three times or some shit.
Yeah, it was wild. It was
ridiculous. And then they had like an aggressive security guard on stage who was just like ripping people at the shirts. It was just fucking ridiculous. But
those are the worst.
Yeah,
I know. Like, they can't wait for those moments, you know? It's like,
it's like, I can't wait to throw this 18-year-old, 112-pound dude around. Like,
yeah,
what's the like, point of that?
It makes them feel tough, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, but I guess to kind of wrap it up a little bit tonight, I do love to chat a little bit of hockey. So Kyle, did you grow up in Orlando or did you grow up in South Florida?
So I grew up on the Space Coast, like Melbourne, just south of Cocoa Beach. I played baseball as a kid. When my mom met my stepdad, he played hockey at this Iceplex in Rockledge here. So it's one of the only Iceplex or one of the only like ice rinks in like, you know, fucking like an hour, 2 hour drive. And it was like right here in our backyard. He's like, I play hockey. Hockey's awesome. You should play hockey too. So I kind of jumped in like head first, like into that world when I was like 10. And so I kind of naturally became a Panthers fan just because he was back when they were pretty horrible in the early 2000s.
they then kind of had.
I mean, that kind of carried through to recently.
Yeah.
Nah, dude. They definitely. I can think it must have been 2009, maybe 2010, where the Panthers went on a pretty deep run. Sean Bergenheim was definitely on the team, former Islander.
Yeah.
Sean Bergenheim had like a goal in almost every one of those games in the playoffs. It was crazy what he was doing.
Love that.
Yeah. It had to be 2010. I remember I was in Marathon, Florida.
Okay. Yeah. Right on.
Yeah. At this like kind of resort kind of place. And I was super jacked that I was in Florida when the Panthers were in the playoffs and might've been even like the Eastern Conference Finals. Like it was pretty far. And I remember I was like, all right, I'm going to the bar to watch the game with the locals. Like, this is going to be super cool.
Huh?
Not one person gave a fuck, and I was so disappointed. Oh, and like Marathon's not that far from where the Panthers play either.
Oh, cool. Like Miami claims Panthers, but that's wild. But I mean, like when I would go back in the day, when like I said, they weren't too great. You whatever team they were playing had that's their fans. You know, that's who was filling up the seats then back then. You know,
that's crazy.
That was interesting to see from our perspective of like losing. But then the whole crowd's like, yeah, fuck yeah, woo!
During that time, like, I had a buddy who was doing, I mean, he still is doing it, but he would always hook us up with tickets. So he would always just be like, yo, he's like, I got four tickets for, like, the Bruins. Do you want to come out and, like, catch them? We're like, yeah, fuck yeah, we'll go. And, awesome. Like, he would always, like, leave them at the window under, like, some weird name, like, fucking Seymour Butts or some shit like that. And he never told us where the seats were. So sometimes we would get like awesome seats, like, and then sometimes we'd get like nosebleed seats, but he would always come with the camera crew because he was part of like the in-game like camera announcement team. And he would always get us on the Jumbotron every single fucking game.
Awesome.
Dude, hell yeah.
Get you on the kiss cam.
But it was, I don't think we ever did the kiss cam. I wish. That would have been great. But,
dude, do you guys go to the Solar Bears games at all?
When they're BOGA sometimes, yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I still have yet to go. I always think about it like in like random times. I'm like, I need to go do that. I know it's affordable. And I just forget. It's horrible.
We also have a cease and desist from the Solar Bears. So it's kind of like a sore topic.
Okay.
Sorry to bring it up, dude. What'd you do? Oh, you probably can't say.
Well, we have a logo that looks somewhat similar, but a lot of people didn't even know Orlando had a hockey team. So we were like funneling people to buy tickets to the hockey games, and they just got upset at us. It's actually, if you can see like right above Mikey's head, you can kind of like see the solar bear.
Oh, yeah.
It was similar to that.
That's funny. It's funny when you get like pops for something like that, and you're like, okay, all right, we're like, you're capitalizing on it. You're going to make a shit ton of money off of it.
Like, you're fucking, like, I wouldn't want to see, like, your fucking like, whale shit hockey league. But, like, come on, dude. Like, your guys can barely skate.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, dude,
for real. It's like, you're fucking bottom of the barrel hockey, dude. Like, come on. There's beer league teams that are better than you.
Did either of you ever play hockey in your youth?
I did, yeah.
I did not.
When I graduated from college, I moved back to Long Island, where I'm from, and started a men's league team with a bunch of buddies. And that's kind of where this podcast came from, is just the type of people that we were playing hockey with were all in the alternative music world. And specifically this band Envy on the Coast, which is a Long Island band. We played hockey with them, and
they're a great band.
Oh yeah, band. We were just talking about that with Jolly from Just Surrender. There's just bands, and I would say Envy on the Coast definitely one of those.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. So yeah, that was kind of my hockey life, and then moved to North Carolina and decided to sell all my shit because I didn't think I was going to play down here because I didn't know anyone. So that was 2015. Is when I got out of the hockey world, but I'm itching to get back into it. They just built an outdoor roller hockey rink in the town that I live in. I feel like that would be a good way to get back into it.
Man, roller hockey, though, it's very unforgiving. You can't just like stomp on
them. For sure.
You got to really know what you're doing.
I just always feel like it's so hard to play with the ball. And then even like those little pucks with the little like roller things on them, like just don't. Mm-hmm.
I never had to.
They don't glide.
Yeah, they don't glide at all.
Some outdoor rinks up on Long Island have that blue sport court surface.
Oh, true.
Which the puck slides way better on that. But also, if it has an ounce of water on it, that is the most deadly surface to ever.
It's
worse than ice.
Yeah, like if there's humidity and it forms a little bit of dew on there, like you're done.
Yeah.
Picking.
I played like a little bit of hockey when I was a kid. I played for like one season, but
nice.
I just like nobody in my family watched hockey growing up. I got into it when the Lightning were getting good because that was fun. But I'm just like terrible at like knowing stats or knowing players or any of that kind of shit. Like I've been a lifelong Bucks fan. And, like, I could name, like, probably 5 or 6 people on the team right now. But, like, my brother can name, like, the whole roster. He's just, like, one of those dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm a diehard hockey fan, like, 100%. Like, that is my sport. But I am not a stats guy at all. Like, I know some people when I try to have conversations with them, they remember team's records for every single season and goals and assists, and I'm like, nope, that's not the way I take in hockey. I'm more of like following the flow of the game, and I feel it sometimes when a goal is about to happen, like that's kind of where I'm more at versus just like the nitty gritty analytics and stuff like that where
hockey's
kind of went to.
Power to you for this, because those people always make me feel like I don't even like the sport, you know? I'm like, fuck, dude. Like, I guess I don't like this shit. But
there's this TikTok where this guy just goes up and he just starts like talking to kids like in like sports gear and shit. And he'll just be like, hey, name like the last 5 Finnish players to land on the NHL All-Star team. And they're just like, this guy. And I'm like, I can't even pronounce these guys' names. Dude, this 10-year-old fucking neurodivergent kid is just like spitting out. Like, this is his fucking dinosaurs, man.
Yeah.
He's just like, brah, 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 brah. I'm like,
crazy.
How do you remember all this stuff?
Dude, especially hockey names. Cause it's like Winnetev Wojcicki or whatever, you know? And you're, a bunch of and X's and stuff.
Yeah, and like they're like hitting like these hard ass fucking names, and I'm just like, dude, come on, how do you remember this stuff?
Man, time moves slower for them, dude. So
it's true.
They got.
I agree.
So they get time to remember it. For us, it moves so fucking quick. I can't remember the team from 3 years ago, you know?
I totally agree, because when I was younger, I wasn't still a stats kid, but hockey cards were still relevant.
Yeah. And,
you know, this is in the 90s, and they would have these trading card books. They're called Beckett, and it would tell you the value of certain cards. And I would have that shit memorized, but like, oh, that 1992 Mario Lemieux, that card's going up. And that was the way we would talk, like, oh, that card's going up. And that's what we would use when we were trading cards on the bus and stuff. So
it's
I would
like a
remember,
Kelly Blue Book like, for
fucking cards. Yeah, it really, I doubt that the Beckett still exists. I doubt it. But
like we grew up in a time where like I feel the same way about records, right? So like you would go and buy a record every couple of weeks, but that's like the only new thing you have for those next couple of weeks. And so your appreciation and your knowledge of that record is so much deeper. Now it's like that.
Yeah.
If you get bored of something for a split second, you can move on to a different record. And like, you just couldn't do that back then. And same with that, you know, like it's easier to learn a team when you're like collecting baseball cards or hockey cards or whatever, you end up knowing the whole team.
I specifically can relate to that, and I'm not trying to throw shade at this band by any means, but when I was in high school, I went to our local record store and I bought the Rufio CD, perhaps I suppose. And I kind of knew nothing about the band. I thought the album art was cool, and obviously the name Rufio being the connection, the hook and everything. I was like, oh, let me buy this CD. And I listened to that CD for months, just because it was what I had in my car stereo. I wouldn't say I necessarily loved that album, but it's now one of my favorite albums, just because I have that connection to, you know, nostalgic connection to that time in my life where think about if, you know, I was exposed to Rufio in say 2024 and was like, had the streaming capabilities, I don't know if I would have given that CD as much rotation and as much attention as I did, say, in 2004, 2003 when I got it.
Very true.
Yeah, dude. You probably would have listened to like 30 seconds of a song and been like, meh.
Yeah.
Yep. That would have been it.
I'm going to listen to the shit I've been listening to, you know? It's
like, yeah.
Or like even like leafing through the booklet, even if like you weren't obsessed with the album, just like having it, or the CD, even just having it in your hands, and you're like, I'm going to read the whole thing or look at all this artwork or all the pictures or whatever. Even if you weren't like obsessed with it, it's like that tangible thing. And, you know, now it's like it's on Spotify, listen to it a few seconds, move on. If Spotify has gotten cool though with the, you know, the imagery and stuff.
Yeah.
I think people kind of latch onto that, but that having it in your hand thing, you know, I feel like a lot of people say that, but I think it kind of.
And you're invested. Best Buy isn't even selling albums anymore. Best Buy isn't even selling albums anymore, like CDs.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That was like the, at least for over here.
I guess I'm just old now. It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, bands aren't even making albums anymore, really. You know, it's like.
No, it's the singles.
Just doing singles, yeah.
I saw something that cassettes were the way to go. Like,
yeah, we've done them a couple times.
Even though people aren't going to necessarily listen to like cassettes, because same as like a CD at this point. I don't even have a CD player in my car. So a CD at this point is just as irrelevant as a cassette.
A floppy disk.
But a cassette is going to be way more collectible and cool versus a CD. And
yeah, for sure.
You know, vinyl, with how expensive it is and how long it's taking for bands to even get anything back to sell, and God forbid they fuck up the variant like they did for Brave Weather, like then it's going to be like 2 years before that album gets to people. And cassettes, way cheaper, way, you know, easier, quicker turnaround.
Yeah.
I could see myself getting into that. Not necessarily for the, you know, playability, because I don't think cassette necessarily has that same kind of tier as vinyl does with kind of the stuff that comes through on a vinyl record. But right. if you're, and to be honest, most people who are in the vinyl game, it's more of a collection, right? They're putting it on a shelf, they're putting in their sleeve protector, and they're not necessarily spinning it as much as you would think anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm team cassette now. I don't even know where I was reading about this. And I'm like, I think bands need to do this more. I think I'm going to start getting into buying cassettes.
Spread the good word.
And they take up way less space than a vinyl does.
Dude, for sure. And having like one of those old like cassette holders would be so sick. Just fill it up with old cassettes, you know?
That's the new merch item. It's just a cassette holder.
Got any cassettes laying around still?
Do we?
Yeah.
I think we have some of the EP. The ones of the full length, I think we're out of now.
Yeah,
we're out. We do have a few. I don't know how many. I have them here somewhere. We probably have like 10 left or something.
Yeah, 10 or 12, something like that.
Yeah. Mikey wants it.
I know. Sign me up. I think I've just become a cassette collector.
Cool. All right. I'll set one aside for you, dude.
Dude, they're getting creative with them with like the different colors and like, you know, as you would a vinyl, you know. People are getting real creative with them, which is cool. And, you know, you can get a setup, man. You can get like a cool, like nice sound system with a little cassette there, right there in the front.
Yeah.
Maybe even one with a tacked on CD player. Knock out everything out at once.
You guys should make like
agree with you though, like cassettes definitely don't hold up their audio value.
No, they warp way too quickly.
Dude, mm-hmm. We had like our van had a cassette player before it broke, and we were listening to our first like full length on it, and we were just like, oh my god, bro, if this is like what people heard originally, it would be terrible.
Yeah.
You remember like those big like they're like zippers that you could have like 10 cassettes in and people would have it in their car to like figure out like what they want. I'm aging myself, dude. Fucking A. just buy those like secondhand and just like screen print your fucking logo on it.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
And dude, that's just a good sell idea. Those at the merch table.
That'd be really. I back it.
I was thinking about getting back into like CDs because apparently CDs are coming back around too. A lot of the hardcore bands and stuff are starting to do CDs. So I think we might do a run of CDs here soon.
Oof.
Yeah.
I think they're cheap, dude.
Yeah.
They're so cheap to get made. And people, like you said, people don't buy them to like listen to them. They just buy them to have like a fucking item from the band, you know? And you can do like cool, like, booklets in them and stuff, and it's like fucking, it's cheaper than tapes. It's like the cheapest thing you can do right now.
Someone's keeping Digipak in business.
It's actually kind of crazy. We were talking about how many episodes we've done. We've never really done the deep dive on cassettes on any episode.
All right.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't think we had a lot of bands have done cassettes
first. That's surprising. I've seen a lot of
my
bands
only
out and about.
My only request is that you wait until we give you this one I'm going to set aside for you before you do the episode.
All right. Well, I think I just made it official. I'm going to be a cassette collector.
You're going to be the cassette guy.
I am. Yeah, dude. I'm all for it.
We got there together.
Dudes, I truly appreciate you coming and chatting and, you know, catching me up on Porch Coffin and, you know, filling us in on the music video and the show that you had in Jacksonville. And, you know, like I mentioned and hinted at, I'm super excited to link up at the end of June and head down to Orlando. I think it's going to be a killer event as well. And super excited that you guys are going to be hanging with us.
Cool. Yeah, dude, we can't wait.
It's going to be fun.
Cool. Well, guys, thank you so much for hanging and wish you all the best. Are we
yeah.
heading out on the road again for the spring? Are you guys hanging low?
We got some stuff.
Yeah, we got some shows, but I think we're staying pretty local. We're working on like new songs and stuff. We're going to record sometime probably like early June or something. We go into the studio. So that's mostly, we kind of shifted focus to that right now.
Nice.
But we have, what's our next show?
Our next show is in Melbourne. It's a Fool's Fest.
Yeah, okay. So we got Fool's Fest April 6th in Melbourne. And then we are playing with an awesome band from Atlanta called Blurry April 11th in Orlando at Uncle Lou's.
Uncle Lou's.
Got a show on WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah, I know. Oh. Don't get me started. I know.
What are your Uncle Lou's shows like? That's got to be crazy.
What's that?
I said, what are your Uncle Lou's shows like? It's got to be crazy.
I think we've only done one so far.
Oh, okay.
And it was good. It was really good, but I think we like either opened or played second. So it was kind of early, but I've played Will or Uncle Lou's a bunch in a bunch of different bands, and it's always been. I love that.
I like that place. I love like just like floor shows, just like set up a PA and just get going.
Just fucking go! It's so much fun.
Yeah,
but if you get like 50 to 75 people in Uncle Lou's, it's bananas. It really is.
Yeah, that's like the most fun shit.
Yeah, shout out to Uncle Lou's. I heard rumblings of kind of corporate America coming in and kind of making things difficult for them, and that's kind of a shame.
Yeah,
they're building a fucking steak shop right next to it, so we'll see how that goes down.
Crazy. Yeah. He's prevailed though, man. That's happened a few times, and he's got through it. So
yeah, the community comes up hopefully and supports the shit out of him.
It does.
I was just going to say, like, hopefully the community keeps going to shows there and supporting them because, I mean, it's just a rad spot, especially for bands starting out. You know, it's not, like, too difficult to get booked there or anything. And, and you know, it's just fun. So hopefully it stays in business forever, man. It'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Forever.
Amen. Amen.
For life.
Forever. Now, socials, just Porch Coffin on all of them.
Yeah, Porch Coffin, because it's a weird, terrible name, and nobody else would have picked that for their handles except for us. So,
hey, that's perfect, actually. Way easier for bands in town, right? Like, that's the worst platform to try to find the band on.
Yeah,
or find the correct band on.
We're on there. What is Bands in Town? What is that?
It's like what links up with Spotify so that on Spotify it shows like your events and your upcoming shows.
Yeah.
It sucks.
I need to probably do it. Do I make one of those or I don't understand how it works?
Yeah. Just for you guys, just go to Bands in Town, like Bands in Town for Artists. Just Google that. Make your profile. You'll link it to your Spotify and then you just throw your shows on there and it like 24 hours it pops up on your Spotify.
Oh, what the fuck? I never knew about this.
And then Spotify will notify people in the area that are your followers and be like, hey, Porch Coffin's coming to town. Go fucking watch them.
That would be helpful.
And they can buy tickets on Spotify through Bands in Town, too. It's fucking gnarly, dude.
That's awesome.
What the fuck? I was telling him that you're not tech savvy, Kyle, but I don't think I am either, apparently.
I was last one on this thing. I made it work.
Yeah.
We just found out about this like a month ago, 2 months ago when we were setting up like all these shows.
Okay, it makes me feel a little better for sure.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, thanks again, brothers, and we'll keep in touch. And we'll definitely be snatching some Porch Coffin cassettes because now I'm gonna start looking what other bands have them.
Yeah, dude.
Hell yeah, dude. Yeah, I'm gonna set two aside for you guys.
Hell yeah.
Amen. Well, we'll keep in touch and we'll talk to you later. Have a great rest of your night.
Hey, you guys.
Thanks so much.
Peace.
No problem, guys.
Peace.
Later.